Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Weird Renegade Witches Blog. Hit us up when you want some real motherfucking work done. I open up the spirits today with our ancestors, with Sandy's ancestors, with my ancestors, with her great-grandmother on her father's side, even on her motherfucking mother's side. And I go even to my ancestors on my mother and my father's side, on both sides, even all the way back to Louisiana, Texas, and so on. That's the motherfucking what's up. And I even uproot the ancestors of the underworld to be before us, around us, beside us, and in back of us. So I'm going to connect, of course, Sandy out of the fucking cornfield and shit. So let's see the what's up. Sandy?
Okay, I'm here.
Okay.
Out of the cornfield.
Okay, you know, that's where you usually are, right in the cornfield. So this show is basically about the ancient friend syndrome. What is up with that? And the reason why I thought it was important to do a show like this is because Sandy understands about friends. I understand about friends. And I'm sure you motherfuckers out there understand about your fucking friends. It doesn't matter if you're black, white. It doesn't matter if you're a female, male. It doesn't matter if you're trans. It doesn't matter if you're gay. The bottom line is that you got them motherfuckers that stab you in your back. You got them motherfuckers that want to be you. You got them motherfuckers that even know how to do spell work and be on the sidebar in their bathroom burning black candles on you. You got the bitch that sit up and try to play Jedi mind tricks on your ass. You got some friends that you sit up and confide in, that you confide in, tell me all your fucking business, and a bitch you sit up and go and use that shit right on you, or tap into your weaknesses and fuck you up with it. I'm talking about them fucking friends. I'm even talking about the fucking friends that do for you and call themselves being about you, but throw it in your fucking face. I'm talking about them bitch-ass friends that sit your man, fuck your man. I'm talking about that nigga that sit up and fuck your woman behind your back. I'm talking about them fucking friends. I'm just talking. There's more. Sandy, so what you got to say about the shit?
What I got to say about the shit, I got a lot to say about the shit. And sometimes, you know, when people think you're talking about friends, they think you're talking about it, you know, as adult. And as, you know, some people know, you can have friends that go back, you know, from you know, childhood and form the way that you are as an adult. And you're not even realize it because it took you to tell me my friends weren't shit. And I think that's where I want to start. Let's start when you not new friends that you meet, you know, along the way, but let's talk about the motherfuckers that you've grown up with. That you went to school with, you know, the ones that helped formed your personality, that helped form the way that you do the shit that you do now, and not realizing that some of them friends who you might still have as friends now to this day really are toxic as fuck and detrimental to your well-being. And, you know, I was telling you about the so-called friends that I had and not realizing. I remember you once said to me, them bitches weren't your friends, but I didn't realize that. I guess maybe I kind of realized it, but the fact is that, you know, I grew up with them. So it was like, that's who I knew were my friends. But the thing is that, you know, you had said to me that I didn't fit my friends, and I didn't understand that at the time. And it was like I was too weird. I was a weirdo in a sense. I didn't fit who they were, and not realizing that. And I let a lot of things, I held a lot of things inside, and not realizing, you know, it kind of screwed me over. And it took me going back reading old journals because I used to love writing, you know, every fucking thing down when I was a kid. And when I went back to look at shit, it was like, God damn, these bitches were something else. And now I gotta, you know, go back and try to sort of reclaim who I am, because they had me real fucked up. And to the point now where I would like to beat them bitches' asses. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, people don't really realize I went to I went to a Catholic school, and in Catholic school, there weren't a lot of, you know, there weren't a lot of blacks, but there was a few blacks. So, of course, you know, I hung around with the ones, I had a lot of friends that were, you know, different races, but, you know, Benita, Makiba, these were my friends, and this chick named Melinda, who grew up in the towers, and we all hung out and grew up together. And then I met my friend Felicia and Deidria, and I used to tell you that, you know, we would hang out, but then they would also have their little side trips placed, and then talk about it later in front of me. And I'd be like, why the fuck they did? I would say to myself, instead of me saying, well, bitch, why you didn't invite me, or, you know, whatever. They would talk about the shit later, but instead of me saying something, I would never say anything. And it bothered me for a really long time. And you know, I held on to a lot of shit that they used to do. They used to set me up with, you know, set me up on shit. They were hoes, but undercover hoes, and I wasn't a hoe. But they would try to get me caught up in whole shit where I almost, you know, was in positions of not being able to get out because, you know, guys were thinking that I was one way when I wasn't. But on the sly, my friends were saying shit on the under, talking about, you know, she's this and she's that, when I'm really not, you know, I'm a virgin. But they were fucking before I was. So they would say fucked up shit to guys that we know, and I didn't know that. And it took me to become an adult to realize that when, you know, reading my diaries and shit, because I totally, you know, just blacked all of that shit out of my mind. But it was like, these bitches were really treacherous, and I didn't know how fucking treacherous that they were. And it's like they were doing everything under the fucking sun that I wasn't, and go out and shit and then talk about the shit in front of me like it was cool. And that kind of fucked up my, you know, my, I don't want to say, I don't want to give them that of saying it fucked up my self-esteem, but it kind of made me act kind of fucked up towards other women that I would come across because of the way that, you know, they treated me. So it's like I was, I told you, I used to listen to a lot of white music, and I used to dress in a certain way that was deemed oddball to most black people. And I liked a lot of white shit. So for me, you know, that was me being me. But they didn't accept me for being me. My friend used to tell me, you know, why don't you listen to this? Why do you listen to all this white shit? Why do you have, you know, white people on your wall, posters and all this shit? Trying to change who I am, but they didn't accept me for who I am. And so I don't think a lot of people realize, you know, your friends always fit your friends. You kind of got to recognize that and cut them the fuck off. And I think that's why I haven't formed any real female friends until I met you. You've been a real friend to me, and it took you to show me what it's like to have a real female friend. I've had cool, like my guy friend who happened to be, let me say this, they happen to be two Pisces men, which are completely different from Pisces women. They have been my best friends since I was 16 and 19, and I can count on them for anything, except for one of them. Sometimes he, you know, he does the most, and I have to give him the silent treatment. But for the most part, they have been extending me of, you know, who I am since they met me. But these bitches over here never accepted me for who I am, and which, you know, made me treat women a certain way as I've gotten, you know, as I've gotten older and shit. So, yeah, that's, you know, a little bit of, I don't want to go, you know, go too far into all the shit that they did, but that's just, you know, a little, the gist of it, that you think people are your friends, even, you know, growing up, and they really aren't. They're full of shit, and they want to take you out of who you are, and you don't grow up being who you should be. If you are an eccentric, you know, quirky, kooky kind of person, but your friends aren't that, and they kind of deem you as an oddball on the under, or kind of shun you in a low-key way, and you're not really peeping that, but you are kind of peeping it, you know, in a subconscious way, it can really, you know, affect you in the long run.
Okay. Well, Sandy, there's a caller. I'm going to see what they're going to talk about. I hope they got some shit to talk about and just not listening.
Oh, damn.
Hey, caller, how are you?
Hello?
Hello?
Me?
Yes, how are you?
Hello?
Hey, what's up, Wayward? Peace.
Hi.
Wayward, this is JB. You and I have talked outside of this live talk show, but this is my first time calling in. I'm glad I had some time today. Going. Sorry. So I was, first of all, let me just say real quick, I couldn't, I don't know where you left off. I was really taking it.
Your phone keeps cutting it, going in and out.
Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Okay, I can hear you.
Okay. Because it's echoing on my background, too. What I was saying is I had a little trouble because I was trying to find out where you were in the conversation. I just took a chance and called. So I don't even know what I'm piggybacking on. But we could get into some things.
Oh, my gosh. It is ancient ass friends. I think you just wanted to be on the show. You got some ancient ass friends?
Do I have some interesting tea? I've just slayed a lot of demons. So I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm just really proud of myself. And I can just really tell you some things about whack ass, jealous ass friends, hating ass hoes that really just be around you because they see your divine goodness, you know what I'm saying? And they try to steer you off your track from the time you're born. You know you're born different, so you have a lot of compassion. You're able to see things, but like the older you get, the clearer you can see certain things. I was so off track for maybe like 12 years of my life. Really had to pick up the pieces. And when I looked around, I had a lot of people around me when I was really depressed, especially one person. I just really cut this bitch off. Like, she just did the ultimate just, like, betrayal. Like, you're not a friend at all. It's okay. We don't have to be, but whatever. So, you know, people will love to thrive off of your tragedy. You know what I'm saying? And excuse me, sir, I am on the phone. You have to excuse me. My older son has autism. He can't help himself sometimes. But anywho, you know, no, for real. Like, I wish we could link up. I'm in Philly. I wish we could link up because people are really weird out here. So, you know, I see it. But, you know, it just took me so long to recognize it, that, like, sometimes, you know, no matter what good enlightenment intentions you have with people, they just don't have it for you. If anything, they trying to take that from you, steal it from you, or just kill you for it, even though they can't. It's not theirs. It's not their inheritance.
That's
true. It's not their inheritance.
Okay.
So,
okay, I feel what you're saying.
I got a lot of stories. You should go on and on.
Okay, Well, thank you, caller. And if you could, you want to, if you hear something else, call back.
What are we talking about? That's what I was saying in the beginning.
That's what I just told you.
See, about what?
Into that trans syndrome.
Oh, okay. I gave my input then. Okay.
Okay, girl. Okay,
and thank you. All right. Appreciate it.
Okay,
peace, y'all.
Bye. Thank you. So I wanted to piggyback on you. I wanted to piggyback also on the caller. I've been quiet because I want an energy of people to have understanding of friends. And what people have to understand is this. We have to know these motherfuckers' pedigrees. But growing up as children, we don't peak pedigrees, or do we? Because in certain energies, meaning the certain elites or upper echelon and this and that, or it may, in my world, it was the Jack and Jill crew, but I didn't want to be part of that. Certain echelon of people basically pick and choose their friends, especially for their children. In addition to, even as adults, people are very particular who they hang around with because they don't want certain energy to rub off on them. Especially
True.
If you give certain rich people, people with wealth and prosperity, they're not out here trying to hang out with certain individuals. But then what can also happen is that you can actually misunderstand or misunderstand a person's energy. Now, me growing up, I've never really had friends. My grandmother, my aunt, and my mom were my friends. They were my homies, okay? At the same time, I didn't go outside. And I didn't go outside because it was like my brother didn't want me to go outside because there was whole shit going on. Neither did I want to go outside because I always felt kind of self-conscious. And I remember growing up, I used to peek out the window and people would be like, oh, you're a hermit. Because I didn't go out. And then when I did go out, it was always something sexually violating my energy, meaning, you know, the boys humping on the girls. Or they want to hump on you, so that made me feel uncomfortable. But at the same time, my mother would take care of me well, meaning she would braid up my hair. I would have all type of clothes, anything and everything I wanted. Then in elementary, when I would go to school, the same girls that supposed to be my friends were chasing me down, knocking me down, and fighting me like a motherfucker. I remember I used to have this bitch named Cassandra. She used to come to my face and scratch the fuck out of me. And I even had and at the time, I should have known because he hasn't had a boy do it. Then all of a sudden, my brother was like, fuck that shit, stop fighting the motherfucker. So he started teaching me how to fight. And all I did was, like, fight from all the way to elementary on. So, but in reality,
damn,
I never had friends. And when junior high came, I still didn't have friends. I tell my children today, I said I wasn't popular. I was on the lower field, the lower yard, but your daddy was on the upper yard where the popular kids. So it was always, it was in a way of me trying to fit in, but I really didn't fit in and I really didn't understand. Then I remember also in junior high, and I told you this story, this heavy set girl was trying out for the cheerleader, and I just wanted to be like part of the crew, and they were laughing at it. So then I did it. Then, of course, Jennifer, we ended up being friends, they clapped all our asses, and she's a Leo. But the bottom line is that I always felt that I wanted to fit, but I knew I didn't fit, but I always tried to fit. But then because of me trying to fit, I had fake friends that really wasn't my friends. Then when I ended up in high school, I started hanging around these certain caliber of girls. And I was like, cool it again, until I met one of my friends, which was Unetta. And Unetta was like, why are you hanging around with this girl? You need to hang with us. So then I moved on over there with them. You know, it was cool in the game. So we were all cool in the game, but we were a certain energy. And then some people would say like a very lesbian, but you know how you get jealous of another friend being around another friend? Because you're like, that's my friend, you know? Same time, if I'm pulling for friends and I get jealous of that, then there's something going on with me on the inside that I have a weakness, that I'm not confident in myself, and then there's some low self-esteem.
But that is because on the way, not only does it deal with your personal life, but what it comes down to is this. Your homestead defines your friends and who you pick and what you take and what you don't take, okay? Because when they push you out in the world, you get an understanding of this is my worth. If you have friends that keep, I'm just talking from elementary, junior high, they keep beating your ass and clowning you, then there's a problem. Because I remember I had a bitch talk about me behind my back, and I was sitting there, and she was like, somebody around here is ugly. And she looked at me, and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, am I ugly? So just imagine growing up, and you around these jealous hoes starting from elementary or junior high, not even high school yet, that's jealous as fuck. You already at that age of self-conscious, no telling what's going on in your homestead. So then you attract these trifling hoes back then that want to fuck you up, clown you, and this and that. Then that ties in the bully that always want to beat everybody's ass because you don't know her homestead, her pedigree. So when you talk about your friends and you talk about their behavior towards you, you got to go back to these bitches' homesteads and see how they raised. Because some of them bitches be molested and shit, getting their ass beat, don't come from shit. But then let alone be jealous of you, be ready to tell you a lie. But you not peeping or tripping. See, what people don't understand, that's why I laugh when people say, oh, me growing up saying, well, she was a hermit. No, I was protected. My brother didn't want me out there with the rest of you motherfuckers. So he'd be like, ah, she cool. Okay.
Well,
she'll sit up in the house. Go ahead.
I did not trip off of, nor did I ever have the concept of jealousy. And when I was in, you know, elementary school and I had, you know, friends and stuff, I had all kinds of friends. I hung around with boys, you know, in the neighborhood. I used to run with the boys when the girls couldn't come outside or whatever. And, you know, I had my friends at school, or at least I thought they were my friends at school. And they came from, you know, different backgrounds, like my friend Benita, who happened to be another Leo. She was an
only
child. She lived up over by Wilson on Ordway. So,
okay.
You know, and her parents spoiled her. So she acted a certain kind of way. And, you know, sometimes, you know, Leos do too much, and she always did too much. Then I had Makiba, who she kind of had it, because her mama had all these kids, and then she married this dude who, you know, when I think about it now, I think he molested her because she didn't fuck until she was in her 30s. And the bitch mumbled when she talked. It's like she is the ruthless person in the crew that I see now at this age. She was a motherfucker and she was getting older, and I didn't realize that. But I think she was molested as a kid. And then, you know, we had Melinda, who was kind of off the hook. Melinda is part of the Bell family. Now, the weird thing is, what'd you say?
Oh, no, I was talking.
So Melinda was part of the Bell, who, you know, your cousin married her, her cousin, Aleo. So she came, the weird thing is she came from something, but yet her father, who was a Bell, was living up in the towers when he was married to his black wife. And then he divorced his black wife, and we graduated from elementary school, and he got him a wife from the Philippines and shit. And then he was, you know, living the life after, you know, he got rid of the black wife and got out of Jimmy's power.
But I kind of want to interrupt you really quick, because there is something that's very interesting out of all this. How come most of the time bitches that got a problem with you are strong in the face? And what I mean by strong in the face, they look interesting. What I mean by interesting, they're ugly bitches. Because I remember there was this bitch that was from the Bayview called Shaky. I never liked Shaky, but Shaky was strong in the face, okay? And she had a nasty attitude, but she was popular. I never understood why she was popular. And one day, I read some shit where somebody was thanking her, saying she did this and did that. That bitch got a nasty attitude. And I remember in high school, my friends would see her and be like, let's get away from this bitch. But she was popular. You know, and I'm like, why is this bitch popular? She got a nasty attitude, and she's strong in the face. Then that carried OCD, and the problem is this. You motherfuckers that sit up and popularize these ugly hoes, these bitches grow up and still think they the shit. Then when you look at them, and they rolling eyes at you and they doing the most. Because they can't get out of you niggas and set up and popularize them with their nasty attitude and them being strong in the face. Okay? You popularize these bitches. I don't know. I don't know if it's hood shit. I don't know what the fuck it is, because I'm listening to you and you show me the picture of all them hoes and they're strong in the face. And they look like they got nasty attitude. And I told you about your friend. And I said, when I met her long time ago, because she's my cousin, I said, that bitch is Popeye. She's crazy. Then when you said, well, that's my best friend, I said, well, that bitch crazy? She cockeyed. Not being offensive, y'all, but my mother and them said when people are cockeyed, they crazy and they under work. So, you know, there's some issues there with cockeyed. So,
but you didn't lie, though.
I'm listening to you, and I'm hearing your energy, and people don't understand that's still a form of curses and spells. Because listen to what I just said. Stronghold bitches be the main ones up there off the hinges. Now, you up here talking all this shit these stronghold bitches been done to you, and you looking better than most of them hoes. No, all of them, really. And you still talk about how they treated you and connived and backstabbed you, but then they have a background, a pedigree. Then what happens is some of these niggas sit up and be cool in the game with them fucked up looking hoes, and then they grow up with the fucked up behavior and then want to tell you what the fuck to do and then tap into your weaknesses that cause you to be a weak bitch. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Because remember when your friend died and them hoes was on your line trying to make you go to the fucking funeral? Remember that? Because you get hoes when they don't grow out of their pedigree, and they just remember you who you were then. But when you grow the fuck up, they still want to treat you as you were that person then, because you didn't know who you were then.
Exactly. And it was a lot of, you know, I was boy crazy. I was really boy crazy. And I got a lot of attention from guys. And that was an issue, but I didn't realize it was an issue. Because I would even try to set up my friends and shit with you know, like going on double dates.
I'm going to interrupt you for a minute because somebody is calling in, and you know, it might be Bonita shaky ass trying to clown up black asses. Wait a minute.
Or it may be Sonya. It may be Sonya.
Oh, shit. Okay. Hey, we ain't even got to her yet.
Nah, that bitch is a whole lot.
Hi, I want to talk about the friends. And it's funny that y'all talking about friends, because I had a friend. She was my childhood friend in high school. And, you know, she was Puerto Rican, and, you know, I was the black girl, but and all the guys liked her, but the guys liked me too. And I had kind of lost, and she used to do some things back in high school. Now that I got older, that I see that was, like, jealous. Like, she used to, like, play in my hair. Like, one time I had weave, and she showed the guys, like, look, oh, she got a weave. It was my first weave or whatever. She tried to make me embarrassed for me. Yeah. So she like, oh, look, she got a weave, and da-da-da. And I'm like, okay, so... because she was like this Puerto Rican girl, and all the guys like her, and she found herself in competition with me because I'm just a black girl. And so when I got older, she contacted me on Facebook. I was going through a bad breakup with my daughter's father. So she contacted me on Facebook or whatnot, like, oh, we should reconnect. I can help you, this, that, and the other. For that year and a half, it was good at first. We were going to plays and all of this stuff I had forgot. But when I started doing better than her, I noticed this jealous energy coming towards me. Like, she was so jealous. Then I got interested in the guy. She all up on the guy that I told her that I was interested in. So I left her alone. And to this day, do you know this girl is still kind of like lurking and stalking around my page, lurking and stalking around me?
I'm going to piggyback on you, but thank you for calling. I'm going to piggyback on something that's stuck in my head as you were talking. So, Sandy, what do you think about what she said?
You know what? That reminded me of something that my mother used to tell me when I was growing up. And she used to say, because what kind of bothered me was the part where she was in her hair. And my mother used to always say, she didn't care how old. She was like, don't you ever let a bitch put their hands up in your hair. I don't care how old you are. Don't let anybody put their hands up in your hair. Especially, you know, your age. And, you know, I'm not trying to stereotype Puerto Ricans, but we know what Puerto Ricans do.
They do that well.
I mean,
that's what popped in my head. Like, what the fuck were you doing? Because even for her to say, wait a minute, remember that shit that we see with Bluefish the rapper? And remember there was a sister at his house? And remember went and ripped her fucking wig off her head? And Bluefish was shocked because Bluefish was talking to the sister. And the bitch came and just pulled the wig off and to find out that a lot of the bitches in the house were Latinas. And embarrassed her. And she was a doctor to the sister. Okay?
Yeah.
But even for her to say she had a weave in her hair and that's her girl. But then her girl turned around and showed the niggas the weave. That is spell work at its best. In so many words, she put a spell on her.
Yeah.
Okay, and kind of put her on Front Street. And in reality, she needs that broken off of her. Because that can also stop an energy from basically getting men, getting the right men, always in breakup, always in some kind of energy.
Yeah. Yeah. All based out of her jealousy.
Exactly. Exactly. And that sound is so familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the jealousy never went away. So that was just the reason to do what she needed to do.
Well, the funny thing is this. It was something also she said is it was like the energy didn't want her to have success. And when people see something in you, they tear it out of you.
Yeah.
Or they make you feel common, or they make you feel stupid, or they make you feel a wave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And you talked about that you used to cut up and use a damn, what is it, a blowhorn?
I used to be a cheerleader. I was a lazy cheerleader, but I was a cheerleader. So I used to have a bullhorn. And when I used to go out, sometimes I used to, like, I used to, one of my friends, well, usually it would be a guy, but I would take my bullhorn, and I would like to talk through my bullhorn. But my friends felt the, huh?
No, I'm laughing.
I told you
had the wrong friend.
I really did, because I used to cut up a lot. Not cut up in a bad way, but I was always hype. I was the hype one. I was always talking to everybody. I was the social butterfly. Mm-hmm. I would talk to strangers. I would hop. We used to go cruising down Columbus and Broadway and North Beach and shit on Fridays and Saturday nights, and I would have my bullhorn. Or sometimes when it's hot, I would just have my bullhorn. I was, you know, talking to people and shit and yelling through it and shit. And that was embarrassing to them. Even when we would go out.
That's why they didn't invite you to shit. So, but I'm going to get this call. I'm going to get this to be on the boat. They did not invite you to shit because you were too busy using bullhorns. Hi, caller. It's Wayward.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How's it going with you?
Not too bad. So I've been listening to the show. I actually seen the posting for the show prior to listening in. But one notion that I've been thinking about is like everybody has a certain life path that they're supposed to follow. And are there people that like could potentially be sent to you that will take you off of that path? And then also, if you're a certain type of individual, like, I know that there are people who are more empathetic, that I've actually heard that you can attract, like narcissistic type of individuals, like, by being a empathetic type person. And if there's kind of like a polarity there. So it's like you have like the positive pole and the negative pole, and it kind of goes into what you guys were talking about, you know, like people player hating on you or trying to, you know, like diminish your energies, you know what I mean? And I know Sandy was mentioning that she like she's a very friendly person. So it's like if you are friendly, right, and you like, because as humans, we are social creatures, right? Like, I feel like that friendship, like, notion can be used as a means to, like get into your life, basically. You know what I'm saying? So you start a conversation with somebody, you decide to be friendly with them, but they could be, you know, the vessel through which a diminishing effect could come through. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Thank you, caller, because I'm going to think about what you just said. I'm going to piggyback on what you just said because something popped in my head. Thank you.
Got you.
It was very interesting what he's saying, because in reality, he's talking about the vampire effect or being a leech. And he said being empathetic or narcissistic or having the mark of pain or being a mark. Or people basically feeding into your weaknesses, but it's really them, because narcissists are really weak people, but they're good at really NLPing you too, okay? Now, the funny thing, what he's really saying is that if you are a nice person, in reality, people can tap into them supposed weaknesses and really suck you dry, but then treat you like a punk bitch, like you a mug bitch, like you a goofy asshole. But it's really them with the weakness, okay? And it's that old saying, taking one's kindness for weakness. So therefore, Sandy, if you have a certain energy, a certain vibration, if you remember when we first met, I would say, why are you letting them motherfuckers rub up on you? You don't know them. Remember I used to say that? And I was like, oh,
yeah.
We kind of acting funny. But at the same time, it would get on my nerves. But then I understood, okay, that's her nature. But what do you do with friends who don't let you have your nature? But they rather talk about you, feed off of you, treat you like a weak bitch, talk about you, and then turn around, don't invite you to shit, okay? Don't want to invite you, just want to talk about you, want to feed off of you, but not understanding you have fucking character.
Because
okay?
I believe that it's because I believe it's a jealousy that's something that they want. I had, everywhere I went, I had a good time. I always had more fun hanging out with guys than girls because guys didn't give a fuck. They just wanted to have fun and laugh and be themselves. But when you with, you know, when I'm with the girlfriends that I had, in a way, I really couldn't be who I was. I was goofy. I was sometimes corny. I was boisterous. I was vibe. I had a lot of energy. I am friendly. I like hugging people. I like making people laugh and shit. And I attracted a lot of guys. So I think there was jealousy of, oh, I want that. I'm not that. I want that. So no, they didn't invite me places because is that you invite me fucking places, I'm gonna get a lick because I'm going to cause a ruckus. I want to have a good time. That's just I want to have fun. That's why we're here, to have fun. Let's laugh and have a good time. And if you can't bring that, and I can bring it, you're gonna be jealous and you're gonna want that. But I didn't understand that at that time. You know, so it's
But what's very interesting about what you're saying is this. This is where we're going to get into Sonia. Sonia was someone that was my friend, right? What I considered was my friend. But I'm going to break this down to y'all where it was so convoluted I didn't even realize it. And where it became convoluted was this. I was a virgin before I met Sonia, okay? And my mother had babysat Sonia since when she was fucking 5. This is how long we knew each other since we were fucking 5 years old, okay? However, and we were neighborhood girls, right? And then we just kind of, you know, went apart and went our own separate ways. But then we regrouped when I was in high school. So I was a virgin. Sonia was having sex before me. She would call me up and say, hey, can you watch my little brothers while she would have that nigga Dante from Ingleton, come over. Yeah, we give him names, but this is San Francisco shit. I would bring her little brothers over to my place. Huh?
No, I want to clarify. We're from San Francisco and not Oakland.
For sure. And so my mom caught on to what was going on, and my mother, with her being a Leo, would say, I know what's going on. Sonia has a man over there. Don't be watching her little brothers while she has that guy over there, okay? That's the way my mother would speak. So if you was to meet my mother, you'd be like, this your daughter? And so right then and there, it was interesting. Now I'm going to get to the point. My grandmother, the motherfucking Pisces niggas, was a motherfucker, and she didn't like Sonia. I remember from my birthday, my mother was like an opera singer. And she was singing happy birthday to me. And I had cake and all that. And I remember Sonia came over. My grandmother went in the kitchen and would not come out. And I'm like, Mama, because that's what we call my grandmother. Mama, do you want some cake? No. No. So we were going to hang out later on that night. So Sonia left. And the spirit said to me at that time, Mama, ask your grandmother for some, does she want some cake now? I said, Mama, do you want some cake? Yes. Okay. So then all of a sudden, me and my mother relationship and my grandmother relationship became strained, and I didn't understand it. And I wanted, and I started feeling myself, and I just wanted to be free because I had a noose around my neck for so long. And it was like Sonia, I believe, gave me that freedom, get the fuck up out of my situation, right? And so I was like, well, this is my girl, this is my friend. I've been on her since she was fucking five. Sonia kept saying, your grandmother don't like me. I was like, oh, it was cool in the game, yada, yada, yada. By hanging with Sonia, I got the fuck bug. I said to wash them pedigrees. Then I wanted to have sex. Okay? And then Sonia was the one who told me, you don't only fuck one dick, you fuck many dicks. Then you
That's
know
what,
that? You like. You ain't
Damn.
Hearing me. Sonia said, okay, you don't fuck one dick, you fuck many dicks so you can understand dick. And you have a variety, you know what is what and how is what. Okay?
Ooh.
From there, I would go out with Sonia and Jennifer. And I would be in whole situations. I was over there on Anderson fucking on Randy. Then nigga and Dante them got on their motorcycle. Les is in the fucking house. Because his baby mom was coming down the street. Okay? Then I ended up at over there at the Holiday Inn over there by the airport. Jennifer got a whole condom stuck in her fucking vagina. Y'all, this is high school though. You ain't peeping. It's high school. I'm talking about pedigrees and friends. And you not even knowing that you getting caught up in the spell. Because you may have a weakness and a glitch. And my weakness and glitch was I want to get the fuck away from my mother. Energy. But the funny thing is that even for me to be attracted to that, then what the fuck was in my pedigree? Okay? Then, all along, I'm doing whole-ass shit with her. But then at some point, she moved. But this is the ass kicker. When my mother died, that's when Sonia became a bitch. And she started to talk to me all type of sideways. And she would say fucked up ass shit. Then she knew, you know, what I went through with abortions. And she knew all the shit about me. Then when she had her baby, and I told you this story, and I said, oh, what they call them, a onesies. I said, oh, I said, is the onesie a little too small? How would you know about that? You had abortions, so you don't know about babies. Damn.
And that's when you should have clocked her in her eye.
Do you know my friends would say, bitch, have you slapped that bitch in the eye? Did you meet her eye?
Yeah,
I'm being real right now. And my energies at the time, as the caller said, empathetic and nice and fun-loving and just the person that I am, I wasn't in with bitches like that because I was confused that man that the caller said. And I was being neutralized by a fucking vampire. Didn't even know it. So then as things progressed, we just wasn't cool. Till one day Sonia remember I told you about the Pacific Bell story. Where Sonia was talking all in high school that we was going to apply for Pacific Bell because her mother was the manager and her mother had insight when the testing was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about from high school. Now we are in our early 20s. Sonia got with her baby daddy, Calvin. One day I went over there and I said, oh, what you said, oh, I went and took the testing. What testing? The Pacific Bell testing. I said, why didn't you tell me? Do you know? Not only did Calvin take the testing, so did his fucking cousin. That bitch didn't tell me. Now, that's the bitches who don't want you to have shit.
Yeah.
Okay?
And ain't shit ass
Wait
bitch.
Wait a minute. It gets better. Then when I didn't, when I couldn't get the job that she could get, you know, back in the day, bitches thought that they were cute with fucking Ann Taylor and Dooney and Burke. Is it Dooney and Burke and Duck? Okay, you know that. Okay. I couldn't afford that shit, so I would work telemarketing jobs, and she would clown me about that. You bitch. Why didn't you, if you did this was a question, why didn't you put me in line because I would hook you up? I told my brother Anton what the fuck that bitch did. Anton was a clammy asshole. He said, what are you talking about? I was just, you was in high school. Okay? So what I'm saying to you is, at some point, I'm like, Sonia, I had to get away from her because she was toxic. But then I hooked up with her. And the bitch got even more grimy. And where she became more grimy is she started hanging with other hoes like her. And I basically cramped her style because niggas ain't shit. Now, I'm fat, Sonia skinny. I would get niggas say, you pretty and everything, but I got to go fuck with Sonia. Excuse me. Then that causes what was me? Low self esteem, jealousy, not thinking I'm worth
mm-hmm.
it. All because
yeah.
we're both twins, but you
yeah.
can't fuck with me because I'm fat and she's skinny. And then Sonia knew that shit and used it to her advantage. Where she sighed, she was side bust me. Okay? Now, she hooked up with this bitch. I'm hanging out with them. They plan to go out to a club in San Francisco. I thought I'll be invited with the bitch since I live in San Francisco, but you hoes are living over in Contra Costa. Do you know that bitch told me, you gonna get on BART because we need to get these niggas up in the car and drive them to the club. Bitch! They tricked me into bringing something back into Nordstrom so they can plot. They're bullshit. At that point, I realized, and I wish I was the person that I am now because I would have tore Sonia up like a motherfucker. But the thing about it is I was that empathetic, sympathetic, passive-aggressive person, fun-loving, and everything,
uh-huh.
you know, in the name of Jesus. And the bottom line is that I should have checked that whole right then and there, and she's a fucking Aries. And the bottom
yeah.
line is that at that point, me and her, well, we didn't talk from 1996 all the way to 2016. And I didn't hit up Sonia until my brother died. And the only reason I hit up Sonia is because it's funny, I still considered her as family. That bitch seen that I was a different person than I was before. She thought she can come at me with her bullshit and with that same energy. Do you know? Oh, yeah. And then I tried to hook you two up as friends, and you was acting
Hell no.
You was acting interesting as a motherfucker. She was acting
yeah,
interesting as a motherfucker. She was saying, don't hang with you, and I'm just like being a cancer messy as a motherfucker. And so the bottom line is, it was fucked up. And all she was doing was trying to collect information from me to just what we call Jedi mind tricking. Then had the audacity to stop talking to me because she thought I was putting spells on her. She thought I was binding her. Then she became interesting about you. Okay? So the bottom line is that then all of a sudden she became twisted and holier and vile and she don't talk about people. But you was a whole lesbian, most likely doing cocaine. You was all of a sudden you got brain loss. There's so much shit to you, but you're judging me. And that's why
and
I said, watch these And didn't she?
Go ahead, Sandy. And didn't she have a baby by somebody's husband?
Am I missing something? Didn't she have some a baby by
Do
another
you
woman's
see me, Simon? Do you hear me, Simon? But the bitch, this bitch, you know what? As soon as I met that, first of all, see, I don't even know where to start. I didn't like that bitch she had the audacity. She didn't show up at the memorial of your brother. That bitch showed up at the repast only to be fucking seen. So when she did that shit, I didn't like that bitch. I'm like, how the fuck you gonna, you've known this man I don't know how many years. Bitch, how you just gonna show up to the repast just so you can see some niggas? No, I didn't like that bitch. Fuck her. And she got a lot of motherfucking nerves. She had a baby with another woman's husband. And she bull dyking. And she
said bull dyking.
Yeah.
And
what? You know those are two different things. Bull dagger and dyking.
They're bull dyking.
Okay. I don't give a fuck. She all that shit. Fuck that bitch. She got a lot of fucking nerves, and then she got the audacity to scream Jesus and shit. And she got the nerve to be judgmental and all the shit that she did.
But the moral of this energy is this. We have to understand, one, it comes from the homestead. Two, there's a pedigree of individuals. And when one says, and we all have to be careful of the word narcissist or narcissistic, because at the same time, that's giving them an out. But the bottom line is that people prey on you. And at the same time, if you're seeking and wanting love or wanting friends or wanting to be popular, you will end up with fucked up ass friends that will basically detour your life. And I do believe there are people who are put in your road as a negative and positive. But what do you do when they're put in your road? Are you going to knock them out your fucking way? Are you going to let them stand in your way? Are you going to use them as your stepping stone? That's the issue. Because when motherfuckers are standing in your path and they are no good, your job is to fuck them up, kill them, and stomp them, and move them the fuck out your way and move on with your fucking life. The role that you have is for you to grow. And for you to be, and for you to prosper, no matter if it's negative, positive, no matter what it is, because it still comes down to your enemy is your stepping stool, okay?
So you can
look at them individuals and on your road as a negative or positive, but what are you learning from them? So let me ask you this question, Sandy. Even through all that you went through with your friends and them doing curses, rituals, and spells on you and having that syndrome, what did you learn from them?
What I learned from them is I learned that they were some jealous assholes. I learned that their lives were really, you know, I mean, I thought my childhood was fucked up, but, and it was, but looking back now at theirs, it's like all you hoes were fucked up. And I should have never think about what was wrong with me that I even cared, because I shouldn't have. And I had enough, you know, I was independent enough and had my own personality and my own energy that I could have been like, well, you know, fuck you hoes, and moved on, which I did when I was 20. I stopped fucking with them. But, you know, Leos kind of have like a loyalty to their friends. You can kind of like do, you know, fucked up shit to us, and we'll kind of, you know, hang on a little bit, but it get to a point where it's like, well, fuck you, and I'm done. So it was a lot of that. So what I have learned is there's no more of that. I'm just going to cut you the fuck off. And that's it, and that's all. Once I see the slightest bit of anything, you know, that I'm not cool with, it's done. You know, and I had to do that with my friend Sheldon, even though we've been friends for years. I cut him off for a while, and you were telling me, you know, why don't you talk to him? Why don't you talk to him? To allow myself just out of, because I have a different view of what friendship is. I try to be a good friend, but my so-called friends taught me that I wasn't a good friend, and I didn't know how to be a friend. But as I've, you know, gotten older, I was like, okay, I know how to be a friend, and I know what to expect from someone else. So, you know, I've learned a lot, and I wish I could go back and fuck them bitches up, but it is what it is, and, you know, there was lessons to be learned, and spells to be broken and recognized, and that's something that I can pass on to my son to, you know, make sure he knows the what's up when it comes to acquaintances and associates and friends, because not everybody is your fucking friend. Some people are just associates. Some people are just passerbys. Some people are just people in the moment that you hang with and chill with, and that's it, and that's the fuck all. Okay. And you, in actuality, you don't really have a lot of friends. People that say they have a lot of fucking friends, you don't really have a lot of fucking friends. You really only have one or two good people that you can call, you know, friends that'll really be down for you, and you know, and it's got to be more of a spiritual connection, because even when I think about, you know, these bitches, you know, now it's like I wasn't that involved in spirituality, but as I got older, you know, I slowly started to, but I felt a ways about communicating that with my friends. It was just a feeling that I had, like, oh, I can't share that with them because they might judge me. So all the things, when I slowly started to get interested in the occult and, you know, and Santeria and all these different things and witchcraft and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, the spirits was leading me into the road that I'm at now. In that beginning stage, I didn't feel comfortable, and even to this day, they don't really know what the fuck I'm involved in. I never felt, you know, like I could share that with them. And I always felt that, you know, they would, you know, mock it or not take it seriously. And so it's like I would do things a lot different if they were in my life. So I learned a lot of lessons, and I learned a lot of lessons, and I broke a lot, had to break a lot of spells that were put on me by their behavior and by the actions and all the shit that they did. So, and then it took you to kind of, you know, say, hey, did you trip off of this? Did you trip off of that? No, I didn't. And a lot of stuff I forgot about, a lot of stuff I suppressed because I didn't want to, but you know, it is what it is. Life is a learning lesson, and life is one big spell. You just got to maneuver your way through it. So that's where I am with it right now. Fuck them hoes.
Basically, and you know, and that's just the what's up, you know, of everything. And now that I'm mostly looking back, I blame you niggas for sitting up, popularizing these strong faith hoes. Because the thing about it is that them bitches grow up and then still give people a fucking hard time. And then when I'm pretty like I am and shit, you get them strong hoe bitches put up there in hella attitude. And then I think I'm ugly as fuck, but it's really them bitches ugly as fuck. Then let alone me not knowing my energy and my vibrations, I let people with interviews like Sonya dictate, run me, make me feel a way, change my whole script in life, and that stopped. And sometimes you have to separate yourself from motherfuckers to see you, because you can't see you within them, okay? That's it, and that's all, okay?
Yeah.
So and this is a word of renegade witches. Oh, go ahead.
I just think, like, for me, I didn't fit them And sometimes you just have to find your place and be comfortable with it. Like I am, I'm an oddball. I'm not. I always was called a white girl growing up, so I never fit. Everybody always told me I act like a white girl, whatever the fuck that means. Because I liked white, you know. I listened to rock music and I listened to New Wave. I listened to all that different kind of shit. I liked white boys. I liked Latin boys. So I didn't fit their you know, that little clique. And I think people just got to realize, just be who the fuck you want to be. And if your friends don't accept you for the way you are and want you to conform, they're friends. And you got to find the right friends. And they weren't the right friends because I couldn't be me. I couldn't be me. And so it's now like, you know, fuck y'all.
Real shit.
Yeah. That's
real
it.
Shit. Okay, so this is where the Renegade Witches Blog hit is up. We want some real motherfucking work done. And stay tuned for the next fucking season tales. And get rid of your ain't shit ass friends. They ain't shit.
They sure ain't. Fuck them hoes.